Again, this morning we'll be in chapter 18 of Genesis, start verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, your hearts, after that you shall pass on. For therefore you are come to your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to the young man and hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf that which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. And they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from their fence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure that there be 50 just righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and spare not the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you, thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said to him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will prevent yet but once this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. That's a mouthful of talking there. Let's see what God has got in it in our understanding. This book, as we know, is not about history. This is something that God has left in our presence to find patterns to show us how to live our life. Does that make sense to you? Okay? We have to understand this is a spiritual book. It's not a history book. If it's just history, we're wasting our time because it will not change us. We've got to know how to change our lives inside. How do we live the way God wants us to live? So we take from every one of these examples that God has put in this book for us, and it was written in the New Testament, that everything that happened to the Old Testament people happened for our learning and instruction. So we should be instructed out of this how to live our lives. Okay? And with that in mind, now let's see what we got for us. And the Lord looked to him in the plains. When it says appeared, it should be looked. And the words the Lord is Yahweh the Father. Not talking about the Son here, it's talking about the Father. The Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. You got to think about this a second. When I say Yahweh the Father, what do you all think about? Okay. Most people think God that's up in heaven. Okay, the big guy, okay? But now let me say you something. God and us are what? So when we say Yahweh, what are we really talking about? The God in us or in every one of us, see? So when God said, see, that's why when it says the Elohim, he's talking about a plurality of God. He's not talking about a single son. He's talking about a many-membered son of God. And when you talk about God the Father, Jesus made this statement in John 17. Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. Hello? Now, you think Jesus prayed a prayer that did not come to pass? Well, then guess what you are? We are one with him. But if we think we are, we will be. Like the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I don't think I'm one with God, what will I be? I'll be separate from God. And see, there's that paradigm shift that you hear people talk about, that big fancy word that just means something great's going to be there, that word paradigm. And I've heard people speak of that for 35, 40 years and didn't know a thing. I didn't understand what it was, and I know they don't. But I do now because the paradigm shift is the thinking. It's all about the mind change. And in like in Matthew 5, 17 or 18, it says that until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law, right? Well, the heaven and earth that must pass is this thing. When I say heaven, where does everybody look? Up. When I say earth, what do they do? Now tell me what's the difference. There's a space between. That means we're separated. And that's what he's trying to tell you. As long as in your thinking God is not one with you, you can't get away from the law. You'll be bound under the law as long as your thinking says that God's out there somewhere. See? You got to get free of this thinking process. It's not about what you can do. The only way that you can change your mind is one thing. It's not you saying, okay, I'm going to change my mind. That won't do it. The only thing that will change your mind is that book right there. When you start reading that word and communicate with the Spirit of God, He will change the understanding in your mind. Don't think it's going to come tonight. Some of you it might come tonight. But some of it might be a long time yet. But it's going to come when you endure, when you're a disciple. And isn't that what Jesus said? If you're my disciples, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free or make you free. But it won't make you free till you know it. See, that's the key. And when I know something, you don't have to think about it anymore. When I say I think, what am I saying? I'm not sure of anything yet. But when I say I know something, that means I've already processed it, I've analyzed it, and came up with the only logical conclusion it can be. And yes, God is very logical. Humans are not logical. Humans are very illogical. Okay? And the Lord appeared or looked to him in the plains of Mamre. Does anybody know what Mamre means? Strength. It speaks of the natural strength because Mamre was an Amorite. And what's an Amorite? Prideful person. Am I right? Always, am I right? Okay? So he said, I'm looking to a man that I know is standing yet in pride and idolatry. Do you think God's looking for a perfect person? He knows better than that. He's looking for a man standing here in all this mess of humanity, but still has his eyes focused upon God. True? Even though David was all those problems in his life, what was God's recognition of him? There's a man after my own heart. See, it's not about what you're doing, it's about what's going on in your mind. And God is the one who makes the call. He said, we were chosen in him before the foundation in Ephesians, right? If we were chosen before the conception of the world, then what have you got to do about it? What can you do to make yourself become a son? Nothing. You were a son at the moment of conception in Father's heart, and that's the end of the story. Now you got to grow up. And there's nothing wrong with growing up, is there? And it says, he looked to him in the plains of Mamre, in that place of idolatry and carnality and all that stuff. And he sat in the tent in the door in the heat of the day. Doesn't that sound like humanity? Do you realize what the door was in the heat of the day? It was a covering and a protection. It was a man-made covering he did to protect himself. And see, that's just a perfect example of religion. They build the building over the top of themselves and think God won't touch them because I'm inside this building. You know what? He got a long way to go yet, see? Long way to go. I know a man from down south, and I won't direct any more than that, and he had this thing going, and he thought that nothing would ever happen in his church, and his number one elder got up and dropped dead right in the middle of service while he was standing there talking to people. Just whoop, fell over. Massive heart attack. Changed his opinion quickly. You know, it can happen anywhere when God calls for it. And just because we're in a meeting, does that mean that life's not going to go on or end or whatever? It's going to happen. That's not the issue. Did you ever see Jesus lose control because someone died? See, he wept, but he didn't weep for Lazarus dying. He wept for the ones that were hurting for him because they didn't understand. See, he knew it's okay because they're all going to be reconciled back to him. He already knew that. That's why he didn't worry about the flesh dying. He was crying. He had tears because of the ones the others were hurting for. They were hurting, see. And when we lose someone, the one that dies and passes on, they don't feel pain anymore. They went back to see Father. I mean, we should be jealous, if anything, that they beat us. See? That's it. Don't worry about pain and suffering anymore. They're out of it. Because there's no place in this book that says God's going to get you after you die. He's not going to punish you after you die. No pattern of that anywhere in the book. And it says, while he was sitting in this place, in this place of the tent, okay, in the door of the tent, looking out in his man-made covering, in his safe place in Mamre, in the place of idolatry and pride, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. Every time you hear in Scripture, he lifted up his eyes and looked, you know what he was doing? He was looking into the Spirit. He wasn't looking with them natural eyeballs in there. He saw something afar off, okay? And he saw something spiritual here, and God began to deal with him. I know it's expressed in a natural way, but this is a spiritual thing he's talking about. And he says, he looked off and he saw three men stood by. And him isn't supposed to be, that's an added word. Take the him out. And three men stood by. And when he saw, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, here's a perfect picture of a man sitting in a church today, and all of a sudden, he gets a revelation. God shows up and says, I'm out here in the desert. Come out here with me. And what did the man do? He ran. He didn't say he looked back, did he? He ran and fell on the ground and bowed himself to God. See? He met Father. There's a man that's had the experience. And I'm not talking about goosebumps, anything like that. I'm talking about he saw God in his heart. Now, what more can you have? What was Abram's reward in Genesis chapter 15? I am your great exceeding reward. There, he just received his reward. He received his inheritance. If I have the gift giver, why do I worry about gifts? Tell me. I got everything when I got him, don't I? So why worry about anything else? If I got him, everything I need will be there when I need it. He'll be our total sufficiency. Quit looking at the physical, the natural things. Look to the eternal things that God says. Because I don't have to see them. Read Hebrews chapter 11. You know what it says there? All these men perished in faith, not receiving the promise. Well, you think you're going to be any different? See? I don't expect to get anything better than they got. but I expect to be everything equal with them. Is there anything that they got that you can't have? That's the way you have to look at it, because God's no respecter of persons. Okay? And he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight," look at the doubt, "if I have found favor in your sight." You think God's going to show him to somebody that has not found favor? See? But see, I mean, all he's trying to tell you in this is, look, I understand that you have a lack of faith. The just don't live by your faith. They live by his faith. You hear me? Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith, not our faith. And you hear people say all the time, "Oh, I'm a man of faith." Well, if you're faithful, that means you're full of faith. Doesn't it? Show them to me. Show them to me. Abraham wasn't full of faith yet. He still doubted when he said if. He didn't believe it yet. And all he's saying is it's a progression. It's a progression. It's okay. It's not condemnation. It's not slandering Abraham to say he wasn't faithful yet. It's showing you there's a progression in his life. Okay? Just hang on, watch his life grow. He said, "Do not leave." He says, "I pray thee, don't pass away." He should say, "Do not leave from your servant." Didn't the book say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? Well, I know Abraham hadn't read the book yet. So see, we got a little something on Abraham. He didn't have all that written word. He had the experience of it straight up. But God said he'll never leave you or forsake you. So why should anyone who has ever known anything about God ever think for a second that God would leave them? That's foolishness. God doesn't lie. Church people lie. Preachers lie. But God does not lie. He said, "I'll never leave you." Guess what? I can go to bed at night and sleep. I don't care if it's raining hail, fire. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. Tornadoes coming. Tsunamis coming. What difference does it make? Because it's not you starting it and it's not you finishing it. It's about God taking care of everything and being done. It's all in his control. So why should we worry about anything, Ed? Nothing. Just live your life the way he's given it to you to live, and when it's all over with, he'll take care of it, see? And he ain't going to punish anybody. He ain't going to burn anybody. It's his game. He sets the rules, and we're playing by them. Okay. He said in verse 4, "Let a little water now," the word "I pray you" should be "now." Every time you say it, "I pray you," it's not the right word. It should be, "Let a little water now be brought to you, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Ooh, the tree. What's that tree mean? What tree could that possibly be? Huh? I'll say I know which one it is. See? The tree of knowledge and good and evil is not where God's sitting under, is he? He's sitting under the tree of life. So if you're going to get any rest or any protection, you're going to have to find it in the tree of life. And he saw three there, didn't he? Now, do you think, now this is a picture most people get, you know, the old gray-haired man sitting in a big throne in the middle and then two little thrones on the side. One with Jesus in it, you know, the 33-year-old guy, and then the other one with the empty one, you can't see the Holy Ghost. See? That's a picture now. I mean, we can laugh about it, but a lot of people see that picture in their mind because of what religion has taught them. But what he saw here was he saw the completeness of God, all three realms of God, the Passover experience, the Pentecostal experience, and the Tabernacles experience. He saw it all in God, in that one. There was three, one. Just three expressions of it. And he said, I will bring a piece of bread and comfort you in your hearts or refresh you in your minds. Now, he said, I'm going to bring a little piece of bread and refresh you. I brought you some water, and now I'm going to bring you some bread. What does the bread represent? It's the Word of God. The grain, the wheat, the flour, all baked up. And you know, you can't take the Word and make bread unless you put it in the fire. Can you? So you got to put it in the fire. That's the pressures of life, okay? And that's the fire that makes it into that, what kind of loaf? Raised loaf. See, it's not the leavened bread, because that was under the law. The New Testament is the new covenant. It's a resurrection life in the raised loaf, okay? And he goes on and says, after that you shall pass on, because therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. Now, do you know what he said? He said, do what you said. Why did he say that? Do what you said. Why did he say that? You're thinking, I like that. What'd you say? That's one thing, but there's another thought I want to try to bring out to you. Why did he say, do what you said? Have you ever heard this expression? Actions speak louder than... See, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. He don't want you to say something. He wants you to do something. See, there's action involved in this. He wants you to be the Son of God that you've been called to be. Okay? We're not talking male and female. We're talking Son of God. There is no gender in the Spirit of God. And Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah and said, what? Make ready quickly or get her done. There you go. Get her done. Quickly. 3 measures of fine meal or flour. It should be flour. And knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. Get her done. See, that's the theory that man has. We can get this done quickly. We can get her done quick, can't we? Can we? In reality, we can't get her done quick. We have to wait for the timing of God. And see, even so, when she made the cakes, she still had to put it on a hearth. And tell me what that hearth is holding. Fire. And that fire is what's going to make it ready. Okay? Now, in our lives, I do not believe you all know this, that I don't believe in being a sheriff. I'm not here to direct you what to do or how to do it and when to do it and how many times. I'm just here to tell you what God said. But the Scripture says this. He made his ministers a flaming fire. Well, you know what fire does? It'll refine you a little bit. See, I'm not sent here to pamper anybody. I love you all, but I'm not sent here to pamper anybody. I'm here to tell you the truth that will set you free. You hear what I'm saying? I love you, and I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, but I have to say what I got to say. That's why I tell people all the time, and people that's been here for a long time know it. No one hired me here, so no one can fire me. See, I'm going to say what God says. It's not being arrogant or obnoxious or anything like that. It's just the truth. If I work for God, then I got to listen to God. I can't listen to someone else. I can take counsel, and that is wisdom, but I still have to ultimately make a decision according to this book, to God's Word, and I got to stay there. It burns away the flesh. It will burn away the ropes just like in Daniel. Okay? where to leave off there? Okay. 7. And Abraham ran to the herd, always in a hurry. Remember the verse in Isaiah 40:31? They that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk. What's the progression? Slowing down. See, in the church world, they all say eagles. Oh, we're eagles flying around. Well, they're in a hurry. See, God says, slow her down. And when you get her slowed down, now I can talk to you. Because usually our minds are flying, aren't they? And so God can't talk to us because we're in too big a hurry to hear what God has to say. All you have to do is slow down. I know God's a sanguine, because he never stops talking. See? I'm a sanguine. I talk a lot too. But I listen too. I've learned to listen. And we all have to learn to listen. When you go in to talk to your Father and pray, see, everybody thinks, they go in with a want list and say, I want this, 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 and this, and this. Well, if you'd shut up, you'd probably receive more than if you ask. If you just shut up and listen to what God has to say. Just spend some quiet time with nobody around, nothing around, just sit and listen. You'd be amazed what'll come through your head if you listen, because God's in there, and he can override anything in there if you want to hear what he wants to say to you. So be still and know that he's God. Okay? Yes, sir. Sure it is. The world knows that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Slow it down. But Abraham run and took a young a calf that was tender and good and gave it to the young man, or the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. Now, what do you think that picture is? Think back a couple thousand years. It was the crucifixion. He took and gave it to his servant. Didn't Jesus come from the Father with a message for us? And I think he said, once I have meat to eat that you don't know about yet. He was bringing himself. He was preparing himself to be sacrificed. This is a picture of the gospel. This is a picture of the crucifixion right here. There's a whole lot more in here too, but we'll start right there. And he took butter and milk and the calf. Butter represents the anointing. Milk represents the word. And what's the calf? It's the sacrifice, the servant, which he had dressed or prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the what? You might as well say tree of life, because that's what it was all about. And they did what? What Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he that does not eat of me has or drink of my blood has no life within you. See? It's a beautiful picture of the Gospels. Beautiful picture. And they said to him, where's Sarah, your wife? And he said to them, behold, she's in the tent. You really think he was really asking about his wife? What was he asking about? He didn't say, where is it at? What condition is exactly right? What condition is your woman in? Your soul. What condition is it in? It's time to look at it, isn't it? To look what condition I'm in. Okay? And he said, I will certainly... And in there, and when it says they... Let me back to verse 9 a minute. And it said, and they said... You know, it's the same word, the they and the I in verse 10 are the same word. Same person. And he said, I will certainly return. See, it was a group of three speaking I. What's that tell you? They were one, weren't they? They were one. He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. What is that? No. Time of birth. 9 months. 9 months. You know anything about that? Jenny, you know anything about that? He said, I'm going to be back in 9 months. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. He didn't say a child. He said son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, not well stricken. That's a poor choice of words. It should be advanced. They're advanced in years, is what it should say. Not stricken in age, but advanced in years. That means they were getting old. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What's it saying? It was past the years of childbearing. Now, why did God wait so long? Well, let me show you something. More than just not being ready. Of course, we all know we're not ready to start with. But God has to take you beyond the natural senses, beyond the soulish realm of feeling, seeing, hearing, tasting, and your own natural strength. All these things that you can do yourself. And when God takes you beyond that, what will you do? There's another word I'm looking for. You'll give up. He'll give up. I can't do it. Thank you. Now I can do what I got to do. That's exactly what God wants to hear from you. He wants to take you to the end of your strength so he can say, when you go to the place where you're at the end of your strength and you recognize it, you're going to say, I give up. He said, okay, now I can do my work. So you're not wrestling with God anymore like Jacob did. Now you can latch on to him and say, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. That heaven and earth has got to pass. That thinking process that I can do it in my own strength has got to pass. And you can't say, oh, I believe in God. Okay, yep, go ahead, God, change me. Don't you believe that for a second. Until you experience this thing, you will never be changed. You'll never be changed. You got to let God change you. And don't worry about all this other stuff that's going on. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to go on. And just because bad things happen to you does not mean you're a bad person. Jesus used the example in the Gospels. He said, do you think that the 18 people that the Tower of Siloam fell on were any more wicked than anybody else? He said, I tell you, no. It happened because God needed something to happen. See? Not because you're a bad person. Just because you're in a situation doesn't make you a bad person. Paul was in prison. Most people would say, well, he couldn't have been religious. Somebody been in prison couldn't be any good, could he? Right where God wanted him, to break his stubborn will. It takes that sometimes to break that stubborn will in humanity. All kinds of situations. And God knows every situation, exactly what it takes to break you, and he'll take you through it. I don't care how much you squall and bawl. You can go, wah, all you want. And it won't change a thing because God's going, he's faithful, isn't he? And he said, I will finish the work I began in you. And he already began it. He's going to finish it whether you like it or not. He didn't ask your permission, did he? But he's going to do it. So you ought to save your breath for things you need. Don't squall. Don't murmur and complain. Okay? Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am what? After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old? The word also isn't there, but they just added it in. Shall I have pleasure? What do you think? She said, you think I'm going to have some pleasure now? He's too old. See, even now watch this faith, how contagious it is. When you get beyond your strength, the soulish side is even going to come to their senses. Your soul is going to say, I can't do any of that. There ain't nothing that natural man can do for me. Okay. End of the rope. That flesh can't do anything for me. This natural thinking process can do nothing for me but hurt me and confuse me. When we come to that place, now you're going to see the miracles come. They become one because they're no longer wrestling with each other, each one with their own agenda. They've give up. See? They're not flying anymore. They're not running anymore. But what are they doing? They're walking. How can two walk together except they be agreed in the Spirit? See, there's the beautiful picture. When we slow down and walk with Him, everything will be fine. And the Lord said to Abraham, why then did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am so old? Why did she do it? Because she was still doubting too. She didn't believe it yet. But she's beginning to. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, 9 more months, and Sarah shall have a son. How many people would believe that? How many people in their 90s would believe that? Abram was 99. Sarah was 90. How many people would believe that? They had it on the news here recently, a woman 57 just gave birth to a kid, and they thought that was something. Yeah. But she had some assistance to even get that to happen. So see how far beyond the natural mind it went? And that's where we have to go, beyond the natural mind, to see that's impossible in the natural. It has to be God. See? And I don't look for miracles like most people look for miracles. See, I don't look for a man with no arms to grow arms out so he can pick up a gun and shoot somebody. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for a blind man to have eyes repaired so he can rob somebody or rape somebody. But see, what I want to see is the miracle of Christ stand up in each and every person. When I see that miracle of life come in you, that's greater than anything that this flesh can ever attain to. See, I want to see the miracle inside of the people. I want to see the life when I look in your eyes and see Christ come alive in you. There's the miracle. And God already spoke that to me. That was what my job was, to give the life he placed in me to everybody else that needs it, that wants it. Okay. And a lot of people don't want that. I've had people say to me, don't tell me about that and I won't be accountable. Don't tell it to me. They need to read the book of Romans chapter 1. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Okay. Get back where I was at. And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not because she was what? Well, she didn't deny. The language, the King James was real generous to her, said she denied it. The language actually says she lied. It's Kalkash is the word. 8534 says she lied. Sarah lied. And if you say you didn't do something that you did, what would you say you did? You lied. See, King James trying to be real nice to her, you know. And the truth is, she lied. And you know what? Some people think that you're not supposed to accuse anybody of the Bible of lying. If they lied, that's telling the truth. If I lied, what would you say? I lied. See, you don't say, well, he just missed it a little bit. See, that's trying to whitewash something. That's not the truth. I like things straight up. If I did something wrong, you tell me about it. I can handle it. Got big, broad shoulders. I can handle whatever he puts on me. Okay? And he said, no, because you did laugh. He confronted her. Now, see, that's a characteristic that the church world don't like. They don't like being confronted. When they say, oh, I didn't do it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. See? You lied. You did do it. Jesus was very good at this, and see, the natural mind won't pay any attention to these things like this, this confrontation. Confrontation is one of the most healthiest things that can be in your life if it's done in the right manner. You come at somebody with a dagger to confront them, you're not confronting them, you're attacking them. But if you confront them with the Spirit of God and the love of God in your heart and say, you know, I believe we got a problem here, we need to talk about it, we can talk about it, and you know what? If that's any kind of a man or woman of God, they're going to hear you. And they're going to receive you and be better for it. Proverbs says, rebuke a wicked man, and he'll, forget what he said, he'll do to you, how he'll attack you. But rebuke a righteous man, and he'll love you for it. See? You'll be loved because you helped me correct something in my life. How many times have you heard me say in here, if you love me, you are obligated to tell me the truth? If you love me, you're obligated to tell me the truth, even if you don't want to because you think it might offend me. Because I'll do it for you. I love you enough. There's a lot of witnesses in here. I'll tell you the truth whether you like it or not, because I can't lie to you. If I say I love you, I cannot lie to you. See, that would be a lie in itself. I can't do that. And I appreciate people that tell me the truth. I like frankness. Just tell me. Then I don't have to try to figure out where you're at. I know where you're at. Just be straight up. Huh? No guessing to it. You know exactly where it's at. Okay? And the men rose up as soon as they confronted her. They rose up from there and looked towards Sodom. What's Sodom mean? Burning. Burnt. Going to be burnt. It was a Canaanite city near Gomorrah and the Jordan River. What's that tell you? The Jordan River is what? Death. You know what? This confrontation took place while they were looking toward Sodom. A place of burning, a place of testing and trials, and a place of judgment, and a place of death. Everybody in Sodom did what? Died. Death. Along with the Jordan River, which is death. So they were looking toward death in this confrontation. Something in this confrontation should die, shouldn't it? When I have been confronted in something, you have been confronted in something that's an error in my life, I should take it to Father, I should take it to the Scriptures, I should take it to the meditation of my heart. And then when I find out that I was wrong, then there should become a death in my life. I should put the sword to something in my life and kill that thing. And that's what he's trying to show you here. There's a thing that comes about when something's revealed in your life. It's not to put in a shelf and 5 years later deal with it, or 10 years later, because you're never going to deal with it. God didn't reveal it to you to hide it. He revealed it to you to expose it. So you'll deal with that thing. Okay? And Abraham did what? Just a second, I'm looking at something. Okay, Abraham went with them and sent them on their way. Okay, there was something, another thought process. Back up to verse 15 when I said Sarah lied saying, I laughed not because she was afraid. Tell me something about she was afraid. No? What incited her to lie? There you go. The soul always responds to emotions and fear. See? Fear is not of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if fear comes in, where's it from? from the carnal mind. It's not of God. And the soul will respond. So if I am still walking in my soulish realm, when that fear is sent to my presence, what am I going to do? I'm going to lie. I'll do everything I have to respond to that situation. Straight up, right? But if I'm walking in the Spirit, what will happen when that fear comes along? Jesus was the example. It is written, God shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Speak to it, but speak from your heart. Not just quoting words out of this book. What's life in your heart? Speak to that thing. Don't let it take you over, because it will if you let it. Oh, yeah, because that was God's purpose. See, even our own emotions and feelings can't stop what God has set forth, because He can't change. He'll get the vessel straightened out. Don't worry about that. Don't pray that God will use you. Pray you that He'll straighten you up, and then He's going to wear you out. I promise you. He'll wear your flesh slap out. Okay? And the Lord said, shall I conceal from Abraham that thing which I do? God's not going to reveal, not hide or conceal anything from His Son. In Corinthians it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for us. That's an Old Testament quote out of Isaiah. Read the next verse. You know what it says? But God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So what's hid from us? Ephesians 3:5 says, God will do nothing except first He reveals it to His apostles and prophets. See? His disciples. So we don't have to worry about walking around in ignorance anymore, do we? If we need to know about it, guess what? We'll know about it. I had some friends one time that used to fellowship with us, and they lived over in Kentucky, and they were talking about a big earthquake going to come, and eastern Kentucky was going to break off and just big, tremendous disaster. And they were fellowshipping with us regular at the time, and I said, I'll tell you what I do. Here's the key to my house. I'll just trade you tonight. I'll go live in Kentucky because I don't believe it. Did God tell you something? I said, He said He wouldn't do anything without first telling me about it. He didn't tell me about it. Now, do you believe this woman prophetess that prophesied this. I said, do you believe that? Then you would trade me. Here's the key to my house. You just stay here tonight and I'll go to your house. And that place is mine from now on, and you can stay in this because that is going to be tore up tomorrow. Which one do you want? And they went home. Nothing happened. Yeah. See? I'd like to trade it because it was about 80 acres with a nice, big, beautiful house. And it come not to pass, fear not that person because they're not a spirit, they're not a prophet of God. It wasn't godly anyway. It's just emotions people run on. And verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and what? Powerful nation. And look at the next verse. And all nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. You know what that language says? It doesn't say all nations of the earth. It says all Gentile nations of the earth. Whoa! There's a prophecy of the new covenant. He didn't say part of the heathens would make it, did he? He said A-L-L. Hebrew word there is kol, K-O-W-L-E, kol. And it means A-L-L. All the heathen nations, how about that, are going to be blessed in Abraham. Come right out of Genesis 12:3. Okay. Just like it says in the New Testament, the natural olive branch was cut off, that wild olive branch was grafted in. Right there it is again. Because I know, and the word him shouldn't be there. You can cross that word out. Because I know, it shouldn't be for, it should be because I know that, and the word that should be this, whatsoever. Because I know that whatsoever he will command his sons, not children, sons, and his family after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and to pronounce verdicts upon, may bring, let's see, justice, that the Lord, or in order that the Lord bring, cross out that word may. See that word may? That's doubt. He might do it. I don't think so. Whatever God says He's going to do is going to come to pass. So it's not about maybes, it's not about mights, but He's going to bring it to pass. Bring upon Abraham that which He has spoken of him. In the last two words of him, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very severe, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether or completely according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from there and went towards Sodom. Now, it said the men turned their faces from there. Where were they at? Where were they at? They were with Abraham at the tent. And they took and turned their faces. Now, what do you think that was saying? Huh? No. They changed their focus, their attention, from dealing with that woman to something else. They changed their focus. They're no longer their attention given to the natural here. Now they're going to deal with something else. Okay? And the root of all things, see, it's not money that's evil, but what? The love of money. Does that go back to here? What you think about it? It's about the thinking process. If a man looks on a woman to lust, he's already committed adultery in his heart. See? And then the new covenant, and that's what he's trying to bring forth here to show us is the new covenant. It's what we're thinking. He's got to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a sign of the first two realms, Passover and Pentecost realms. They got to pass away. Because in there, there's confusion. And we can't have confusion because only spirit enters the Holy of Holies. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. So we got to get this cleared out. So his focus is now, okay, I've got you straight. You know who I am now. Now I've got to go before you and prepare the way. I've got to get this stuff out of your life, this thing of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. Children of God, and this is something I think is funny, it's beautiful. Not funny, it's strange, I guess. But Jesus never focused on sin. He never focused on sin. He said, focus upon the Father. Paul never said, focus upon sin. He said, focus your eyes upon Christ. There's the whole point. If you get your attention to Him, everything else will take care of itself. Okay? And the men turned their faces from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord. So Abraham, you know what? Once you come in the presence of God, how could you get out of it? See, there's the understanding in religion. We come to church, and oh, it's holy in here. But we go out the door, and we kick the dog on the way out, slap her wife, and spit on her kids. I mean, that's true. They do it. And they think they come to this building and this is something special. It's not. It's your lifestyle every day. It's your lifestyle in your home in behind the four walls when no one sees you. Just like that picture right there. What's it say? Character is who you are when no one is watching but God. And see, there's someone always watching. Your wife's watching you. Your children's are watching you. Your husbands are watching you. Your brothers and sisters are watching you. There's always a set of eyes on you. See, who are you to not represent what you really are? If you're going home and acting different there than you act here, you're a hypocrite. If I come in here and dress a certain way just because I come into this building and I go out there and I wear blue jeans and here I come in and wear a three-piece suit, I'm a hypocrite. I don't mind saying it. Because it's the truth. This is who I am. God never made me a three-piece suit. He made me a pair of blue jeans. Cut off in the summertime. See, that's who I am. And I'm not going to try to impress anybody with looks. If I can't impress you and impress upon you the Spirit of God in my life, then you ain't going to hear nothing from me anyway. It has nothing to do with the clothes I wear. That's just religion. I had a preacher argue with me one time, said, well, there's a verse in the Bible that says you're supposed to wear the best you got to church on Sunday. Bless his heart, he's ignorant. Yeah, that's the way it is. But they believe that, see, because someone told them that stuff instead of telling them the truth.
Where is that
verse? In his mind, I think it's in second or third opinion. Okay? Anyway, back to where I was at down here. He was still before the Lord, still in the presence of God. Even though some other things are focused, God can take care of. Let's say this. God is a number one man in multitasking. He can do many things at the same time. Okay? We didn't start that idea of multitasking. God did. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will you also, or indeed, destroy the just or the lawful with the wicked?" That's a legitimate question. But you know what that tells me about Abraham? Abraham was a type of somebody. Who was he? He was a type of Christ. And he stood up there and said, you know, "Wait a minute, Father. Don't judge them. Let me take it on my shoulders. Let me carry the sin of the world. Let me go to the cross." Hello? Do you hear me? That's what Abraham's doing. Do you know what your call is? To do that same thing. And I'm going to tell you something most people say is being blasphemous when I say it. It's okay. It's true. The book says, whoever sin you remit upon this earth, it's remitted. If you want to forgive some sin, you've got the power within you to forgive that sin. And God recognizes it. This ain't no game we're playing. But this is from your heart, from your spirit, to forgive the sin of the people. And it can be remitted. That's by His words. See, this is not a game to play and try to get somebody's attention. This is the truth. Okay? You can turn it loose. And Abraham is making the perfect example of Christ standing in there saying, "Give it to me, Father." That's what he's doing. In verse 24, he says, peradventure. That word shouldn't be there. That's one of the English King James things. It should say perhaps. Perhaps there is 50 just or righteous men there within the city. Will you also destroy and spare and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are in there, or in the midst of this, or the center of it? He said, "That's far from you to do that after this manner, to slay the righteous or the just with the wicked, and that the righteous or the just and lawful should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Does that sound like somebody else you heard? Moses said, "Lord, you don't want to destroy them, because then the wicked's going to say all these bad things about you." That was just an intercessory. That was the Christ in the man standing up there saying, "No, don't do it. Don't judge them, because I'm just as guilty as they are." You hear me? Jesus knew his flesh was just as guilty as they was. He just never gave in to the flesh. Of all mankind, not of yourself. All mankind. Now, it says, "Shall not the judge of the whole earth not do righteous?" Do you know what the judge of the whole earth is? You. Christ. It says when he died on the cross, you died with him. When he was buried, you buried with him. When he resurrected, you resurrected in him. And what was his statement? Or let me say it this way. What was your statement on the cross to the Father on that judgment? "Forgive them, Father, for you know not what they do." See, those were your words coming from your heart if you're part of the Son. This isn't blasphemy. This is the truth. When we were on that cross, our mouths opened up and said, "Father, forgive them." See? You won't hear that in most places, but that's the truth. And that's what will set you free. And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous in the place, I will spare it for their sakes." And Abraham responded and said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. I am but dust and ashes." Now notice what he did. He realized who he was, and then all of a sudden he turns right around and says, "But I'm just dust and ashes." You know what that was a sign of? Remember when Jesus, within the gospel, this man come to him and said, "What must I do to be saved?" and all that stuff. And he said, "Get away all this stuff." And he wanted to fall down and worship him. What did he say to him? "Don't worship me, worship Father." That's exactly what he's saying right here. I'm dust and ashes. Although I know I'm a son, I'm still dust and ashes in this form. And give all credit to the Father. Don't pay attention to me. Give it to the Father. Shoelaces. Absolutely. He knew what he was, but in the flesh he wasn't worthy of anything. Because no flesh and blood can inherit it. And he goes into 28 and says, "Perhaps there shall lack 5 of the 50. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find that 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, perhaps there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said to him, oh, let not the Lord be angry or displeased with me, and I shall speak. Perhaps there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak. I've undertaken to speak to the Lord. Perhaps there be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, now let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak only this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left or ended speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Where was his place? He went back to his tent, back to the flesh, and that's your starting place. See, God set this whole pattern in motion. In his mind, in the spirit realm, Jesus said, it's already finished. But he said, here's what it is. He put it all out here in the spirit, and then he took us back here and said, okay, here's your starting point over here. Now, you're in your tent, you're in this tent. Look here. We're in this tent. Now, go on. God went back where he had to go, and Abraham had to go back to his place. God had some things to go on and do. See? That's what it's all about. Now, if you want to know about these numbers, 50, 45, on down the line, what's 50 represent? Jubilee. What does Jubilee represent? It's still a shadow and a type. It's reconciliation of all humanity. Whatever was lost in the 50 years has to be returned to the owner. All things, everything, no matter how it was lost. Whether it was sold, stolen, gambled, whatever, wasted, still had to go back to you. What's 45? 40 is a generation. 45, generation with grace. Okay? 40, again, like I said, generation. 30, maturity. 20, accountability. When you were 20 years old in the Jewish culture, you were old enough to do what? Get accountable to go to war. Okay? You were coming to maturity. What's 10? And it came all the way down. He said, even for the law's sake, I won't destroy it. For the law, I won't destroy the city. But you know what? There wasn't any law there. It was lawless. It was not established as anything. It was just a mass of humanity going crazy. Okay? And God went on and did what he had to do. But see, Sodom and Gomorrah was a shadow and a type of what's going on internally. Our minds, Jesus said it, all these wicked things, all these evils come from where? From the heart of man. That's not this thing, it's this thing. And so he had to go there and destroy with fire from heaven. That's the word of God. His ministry will come in, and the Christ will come in and set on fire the earth. Jesus even said this. He said, I did not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. And he said, another place I've come to set earth. What if I come to set fire on the earth and it's already been kindled? It's already started. Y'all just didn't see it. So he said, you didn't see it, but I've already begun my work for the conception of the world. It's already in motion. So what are we going to do to stop it? Nothing. All you can do is just say, yay and amen. Yep. Absolutely. See, everybody thinks that Sodom and Gomorrah was burned up and all those people destroyed and that's the end of them. They're all burning some kind of hell somewhere. But see, those are God's children too. They were just used in the negative. Where do you think Jesus went when it says he died on the cross? He went into the bowels of the where? And took captivity captive and brought them free. Now who do you think is still there?
Nobody.
I think there's a vacancy sign there. You know, he took them all out. There's no one after they had experienced what they called hell. Not really what the church world calls hell, but they experienced that burning place at the time. Do you think anybody would say, nah, I'm not done yet. I think I'll wait a while. I'll stick it out a couple more millennium. How about that? I don't think so. If you will take and think, and that is the key word to this whole thing of understanding God, you can't understand if you don't think. Can you, Bob? You got to activate these little cells in our brain and start using them. If you use them, God gave you a mind, and you've got the same mind everybody else has got. Okay? But you've got to activate that thing. It's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it just goes away. And most people are too lazy to exercise that muscle. If you exercise it, you're going to know the same thing I am, because God don't talk out both sides of his mouth.
See? It's like Gordon said, you rest at first before you exercise
it. Absolutely. It'll work. It's not, God don't speak. I was just reading something this morning. Someone sent me something on the web, some Christian organization, something, and they were wanting me to join, and they were talking about how there was 20-some thousand denominations in the world. Because everybody is not thinking. I do appreciate what they said there. Everybody's trying to use the same book, but everybody's got 25,000 different ways to go. Can't be. Somebody's got to be wrong. I mean, I don't have to be a mathematician to figure that out. If you're going north and south in every other direction and they're all saying we're right and everybody else is wrong, something's wrong. You know, I'm not a mathematician, but I figured that one out. Huh? The mass has never had it from the beginning, and they're not going to have it till the very end. It's only going to be the Christ that has this. And that's okay. God's not mad at anybody. He's. You know anything about gardening? In the harvest, when it comes time, the farmer goes out and picks the first tomatoes ripe. Who gets them? The farmer. The book says the farmer gets the first fruit. And he's looking for a tithe from the earth. Tithe and first fruit are synonymous words. The same word. They're just translated different ways when they want to be interchangeable. So God is looking for a tithe from the earth. He's not looking for you to grow a garden out there and bring in the plants like they did in the Old Testament. That's a shadow and a type of you growing something in your earth and bringing that to him. You bring that firstborn son to him, the son in here. That's all God's looking for. And if we get by all this ignorance that the world has taught on us, we'll be fine.